Hey there, and welcome to the Disciple Tips podcast from Battlefield Baptist Church, where our goal is to equip you as you lead the kids and teenagers in your life. I'm Colby Corcoran, the Children's Ministry Director here at Battlefield, joined by Beth Tate, the Children's Ministry Assistant, and Travis Owens, the Student Ministry Director. We know that there are lots of different resources out there and people much smarter than we are answering questions, but we wanted to offer you one place that condenses that information and makes it easy to find practical tips for discipleship. Today, we're talking about the proper use of technology.
So I guess on the offset, possibly you'd wonder, why would I even spend my time listening to you guys? Why would I spend my time listening to a podcast that talks about discipling my kids? And maybe it even comes to you and say, you know what, I know Colby, I know Travis, I even know Beth. So like, why would I listen to three people who don't have any kids of their own? Can I just tell you from my personal perspective, I don't have any kids. I've worked in some form of ministry with youth for over 10 years now. That's longer than most parents have had teenagers in their house, right? Because that's only about a 8-year period, 6-year period, depending on what you would consider a teenager. So I do have some experience in working with teens, but the issue is we only get an hour or two at best with your children a week, right? So Jesus was asked a question while he was here on this earth. You can find it in Matthew 22. And they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? If I could only do one on this earth, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus' response was that you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. But we know that love is an action word, and that is something that is taught. And Deuteronomy makes it clear as to whose job it is to teach that in your home. And so that responsibility falls on the parents. So our desire is just to try to equip you with things to better help you accomplish God's desire for the discipleship of your children. Colby actually has a great, great definition of our topic today, and that is technology. What is the proper use of technology? So he has a great definition of what technology is.
So technology is defined as the invention of useful things to solve problems. But for our purposes, we can also say that technology is the creation of things that makes life easier. And obviously today, when we hear the word technology, we often think of digital technology because that's where innovation is moving. But in its broadest sense, technology really is just the invention of useful things to solve problems and make life easier. And like we see in Scripture, we really think that technology, like everything else in our lives, is something that should help us glorify God and honor Him.
I guess the issue with the entire thing becomes, when does something that was created to make life easier, better, more efficient, when does that thing become a problem? Like, is there potential evil inside of that? Right. So in just talking with Beth this morning, she had mentioned a few really great questions that you could ask yourself, ask your kids as they are maybe trying to engage in some of this new technology. And she had some great, great questions that I think you could just begin with to ask yourself.
I think there's a series of questions we all need to ask ourselves when we're using technology. Obviously, we are in a time period that no one has ever experienced with this rise of technology and the immediate access to information that we have. Certainly nothing I've experienced. And kids these days have such easy access, even down to the youngest ones are using phones and iPads and getting access to things we could have never dreamed of even 10 years ago. So I think if we are focused on these questions about what it is we're viewing and in turn what it is our kids are viewing, does it value life or does it demean it? What is the potential for evil while I'm viewing this type of format or website or video? Some things seem very innocent, but upon further investigation can be inherently evil. Am I appropriately using these resources? And are we respecting people's dignity as God's image bearers? You know, we've been created in God's image, and are we respecting other people in that way? Unfortunately, I would say one of the downsides of technology in the social media world is our ability to make snap judgments and our ability to make comments very publicly that are demeaning and hurtful to others. And I believe that as those of us who are trying to lead children in a godly manner, we need to be a little more observant of these things.
So, I can't speak for the entire group because, you know, the age group that I work with is pretty specific in terms of, you know, middle school and high school. And certainly there's potential issues that are not yet potential issues for a kindergartner or a first grader, although I would venture to say most parents would be shocked if they really knew what their kids were looking at all the time online. But each case is different, right? And each age group is different. But I think for me, one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen parents make, and that's why I just, you know, we want to give you these few things just to encourage you along the way to engage in a battle, is I illustrated this to Colby the other day using this story. So I remember the first time I went to the store by myself, right? I had very specific instructions from my parents, right? It was like, you're going to take this route. You're going to stay on this sidewalk. Don't talk to any strangers. Use this money. Get the change. Make sure the change is right. Buy only this. When you get back, give me the change, right? There's very specific instructions, wow. Right? And everybody would do that with their kids. There's nobody's going to send them to the store like, yeah, man, just have at it, right? Here's a hundo. Have at it, man. When you get back, maybe you can give me the change. Maybe not. Like, it's just, that's not happening. You would give them very specific instructions. And so I think it's the same when you're sending your kid out into this world. They have the world at their fingertips with all this technology. And without very specific guidelines and instructions, it's irresponsible at best, right? And so I've seen parents come at a very young age, you know, sixth, seventh grade, and they come and say, Travis, you know, so-and-so locked up their phone and come to find out, you know, this sixth grader or seventh grader had been looking at so much pornography within the first few months of having their smartphone that it locked it up. And the parents looked shocked, but they put nothing in place. There was no guidelines in place before they gave them this technology. And so I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that we see. Now, the guidelines, the proper uses, whatever that may be for your home, are subjective, I think, in each case, right? Because every kid is different. All families are different. Your goals for your kids are different. So those guidelines may be, they may be different than your neighbors or your best friends or something. But I guess my encouragement to you would be make something. Give them some sort of guidelines, right? Engage in the battle. Come up with a plan. Get you and your spouse on the same page so you can both enforce the guidelines equally in your home.
Right, and that's something that Travis and I were talking about even yesterday, that even after you as parents kind of align yourselves, a lot of what we've seen almost points to that it's better as you set rules and guidelines for your kids, set those as a family. If you sit down with your kids and actually walk through, this is what we're going to do, this is how much time we're going to spend on each application, and give them reasons for it and allow them to provide input so that you're having a discussion rather than just handing down limits. Travis pointed out yesterday, said it's absolutely going to be better because they have more skin in the game. It's something that they're invested in rather than you just saying, this is how it's going to be and you'll just deal with it. And so when that time comes that they might want to rebel or extend or try and sneak out more technology time, if they're part of the answer and part of setting those limits, most research shows that they'll actually keep from doing that because they helped set those parameters.
Yeah, and that also brings us back to something. You might be shocked at some of the parameters your kids would set for themselves on social media, right? So, like I told Colby, one of the greatest negotiation tactics, you do something for somebody, and they say, well, I want to pay you, like, you know, how much do you want for this? And you say, well, just give me whatever you think is fair. 90% of the time, that person's going to offer you more than what you would have stated to begin with. And I think that you'll find if you allow your kids to engage in this process, they might be willing to set more parameters than maybe you would have even at first, right? And that's just a common thing.
I think along with the parameters, you need to display what you expect of them in your own actions. I've spent the last couple of years working with kindergarten through fifth grade, but the bulk of my time has been with the kindergarten age level. And I'm sure some of you are probably thinking, how much trouble can a kindergartner get into on social media? You'd be surprised, but a lot of what they know and a lot of what they relay back to me in class is that they see mom and dad doing it. And that age group is a sponge. And I think you'd be shocked to hear some of the things that those kids repeat because they either saw mom and dad doing it, or they heard something, a video or something that maybe dad thought only he was watching. But to really display the same parameters and say, you know, I mean, I think we all could use some time stepped back from technology to make sure that the kids see you displaying the same thing, because they definitely are absorbing everything that you say or do.
And especially like if it's something that even my mom told me when I was a kid with my little brother, like I can tell him something, but if he sees me doing it, he's just going to want to do it. And so as a parent, as you seek to try and be that role model, you need to make sure that you're using technology the way that you want your kids to. If you wouldn't be okay with your kid texting and driving, you probably shouldn't text and drive. That's against the law, so you shouldn't do it anyway. But the idea that if you don't want your child to spend all day just constantly consuming YouTube video and just scrolling through Instagram, then you probably shouldn't be doing that yourself.
Yeah, it's awfully hard to sit at the dinner table while you're eating, scrolling your phone, telling little Jimmy to get off of his phone at the dinner table.
Stop playing your game.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's a cultural thing, though, and we all do it now. I think we need to, as adults, just be more diligent, too. And we, as adults, and even as kids, have, you know, that intuition that God gives us, that gut feeling when we know something isn't right. It's rare as an adult that I do something and think, oh yeah, that was right, when I know deep down inside it wasn't.
Yeah, and that's part of like what we were saying at the beginning, that technology, like everything else, should be something that helps us glorify God and honor Him. And that's why we say we're not against technology. We enjoy it. And I love that technology is advancing and that we have more at our fingertips. But that caveat that Beth just pointed out, that it's serving that better purpose when it helps us accomplish those things, but it becomes a problem when it doesn't glorify God and it takes the place of other things.
It starts to become an idol in your life. And obviously, I mean, there's a number of things that can become an idol in our life, but technology is certainly up there now. And we, you know, I know I have, and I'm sure both of you have on a number of occasions taught lessons about not having idols in our life. And I think as adults, we have, you know, I myself not coming, you know, not growing up in a digitally advanced age. There was no internet in my home for a long time. you know, yeah, it's fascinating. And I'm not going to lie, the ease of access, even when I'm teaching a lesson, to be able to look something up really quickly is amazing. But yeah, it absolutely, if it starts to come across as an idol and kids are observing that, it's, you know, we fall into that trap of do as I say, not as I do.
And so I think that brings us to really like the crux of the entire conversation that we really wanted to have is like, you know, is there a point where it becomes an issue of like technology is great and it can occupy my children while I'm cooking, while I'm doing, you know, different things and things I have to get accomplished. But is there a point where we've just passed off raising our kids or discipling our kids to technology? And I think that's when it becomes an issue, you know? Like in the youth group, we see it all the time. Parents will drop their kids off and they're like, well, I bought them to you. Now it's your job to fix them. And it's almost laughable, right? And I'm sure many of them, they do mean it as a joke, but you know, on some level, I think there's, you know, they actually believe it. It's like, you know, this hour or two they're going to spend with you. Look, I know Jesus works miracles, but when they, you know, when they see the opposite of everything that we're trying to instill in them in that hour or two, when they see the opposite in their home for the majority of the time, I mean, you know, at some point, you have to begin to take that responsibility as yourself and say, okay, let's take a step back. I don't like what YouTube's instilling in my kids. I don't like what they're grabbing off it. I don't like, you know, maybe the language they're using now, whatever it may be. And here's how we're going to recenter and become Christ-focused in these things. How are we now going to use this technology in a way that's glorifying to God? And, you know, so that brings me to a question that I wanted to ask you guys, right? Because I think many times by the time they reach high school, I don't want to say parents have given up, but you see they've slacked a whole lot on different discipline and stuff. So the Pew Research Center, they put out some great statistics concerning these things. And so I had read something that it was 95% of teenagers have access to a smartphone. And I think because that number was so high, you saw that 57% of parents at some point use taking away their access to the internet, taking away their access to the smartphone, either or, they use that as a source of punishment, right? Instead of maybe typical, like old school discipline, spanking, whatever it may be. So do you guys think that that is a good method of discipline, a godly method? I mean,
I think, again, that goes back to what Colby said. It depends on the kid. And again, I mean, I'm not sure that's any different than when I was growing up. I mean, you know, if I was in trouble, one of the things that went first was, you know, my time on the phone, which was a landline, yes. But I think when it comes to, you had a landline.
I remember like spending 3 and 4 hours on the phone, your parents picking it up, acting like they hung it up, spying on you on the other end.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, it's a different time. I think it really depends on the kid. If that's you know, my parents always, and it, for me, it worked. They didn't necessarily believe in grounding. They believed in taking something away that was very important to me. And if you have a kid where, yeah, they love that smartphone internet access and you take it away, then that's a real punishment if that's something that they love. But if you have a kid that's like, nah, that I don't really care, then yeah, I don't think it works. I mean, I guess in this day and age, sure, taking the internet away is a much bigger deal than it was, you know, even 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, I don't know. I think it just depends on the kid.
So I think even when I was younger, you started to see a shift. Now, obviously, there are some parents who still spank, but you started to see a shift where it transitioned into, like Beth said, taking things that were important to kids away as a form of punishment instead of sticking them in the corner for time out or going to your room or getting 12 spankings because you did something in a public restaurant or whatever. Like, that shift had already started, and so I don't think it's any different. I think obviously it's just shifting now because there is more technology to take away.
So have you guys heard any, I know I have, from just conversating with different parents, talking with different parents, have you heard any really great just guidelines that you would suggest? Like, I've heard some, but I don't want to offer mine out. Just, you know, once again, I'm working with a little bit older group. I mean, I'll sprinkle mine in between, but I don't want to assume that my guidelines are necessarily going to be applicable for a kindergartner or a first grader. Surely some of them will, but not all. But have you guys heard any great guidelines in your line of ministry?
I mean, I think just the big one we always hear about is limiting time,
right?
Limiting the amount of time. And in the technological advancements, you can do that without even having to do much of anything. Actually, you can just program something to shut down after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I know, for example, my niece is of the kindergarten age, and along with limiting time, she does not use, I mean, she doesn't have a phone, she's only 6, but she has an iPad, and it is not to be used unless there's an adult with her. She doesn't get to go in her room and just do what she wants with it. Her mom's next to her, or her grandmother, and obviously, again, there's limitations you can set on these iPads and computers and stuff that stop them from viewing certain things, but that's what I have heard for them. And again, that's a kindergarten age, what works for them. But the big one is always just limiting the amount of time.
Yeah, I've even heard of, like, you know, being able to shut the Wi-Fi down
in
your home at certain times, which I think is genius.
Yeah, most everything now comes with the ability, like even those gaming consoles and Wi-Fi routers are starting to do that where you can program a set limit so that it's not even up to your kids to enforce. It really is based on the system itself. And like Beth said, it'll just shut itself off. But yeah, the only other thing that I've heard a lot of and seen a lot of is almost creating tech-free zones.
Right.
So not just limiting the time or limiting the places they can be on technology, but really setting up like areas where nobody is on any device. So whether that be at the dinner table or when you're in the car, obviously besides like long trips, but when you're dropping them off to school or picking them up or you're just driving to a restaurant or whatever, creating those kind of areas that nobody has any tech whatsoever so that it's less about the limit, but more about actual, like, I don't want to say forcing, but in a way you're kind of forcing face-to-face interaction because you don't have the ability for a screen to even be in front of you.
But what a great opportunity to inside of the car to get in some of the discussions, right? Like, I mean, I just hate when I see parents leaving and kids, you know, they're pulling out of the campus here at church and kids already on some sort of device in the back seat, right? What, I mean, you have a captive audience. Yep. They can't go anywhere, right? Hey, little Jimmy, what did Colby teach about in Sunday school? I mean, you have this opportunity to continue that conversation, to really jump in and take part in that discipleship aspect with your kids. So don't just sell that time away. But that also leads me, you know, the whole tech-free zones, that leads me to some great guidelines that I've heard for teenagers. One was no sort of tech in the bathroom. Why would you send them out in they have this endless things they can access at the tip of their fingers, right? Another great one is in the room. Now, I understand this is different, right? You know, kids are getting laptops and stuff from school. There's a lot of different homework and stuff that has to be done on those. Do it at the kitchen table. Do it at the kitchen table. Why do you need to be behind a closed door to do your homework?
That actually goes along with something that I said to Colby yesterday was, you know, gone are the days of, you know, we had a desktop computer that was in our family room so that even this was before the internet. My parents could always see what was going on, you know, and this is long before there was, I mean, access to that kind of stuff at that type of speed. But yeah, I mean, there was no computers in our rooms or any. We didn't even have TVs in our rooms. Those weren't allowed.
Here in our offices, if you've ever seen our office, the most preferred method is that your computer face the door, where we also have half glass doors. So everybody can see there's no opportunity to take something that is meant for good, meant to better us, and to do evil with it. There's just no opportunity in the office environment here, right? Because we've set that guideline. Another great one that I've heard in terms of setting guidelines as you're home with technology is that all phones are to be plugged in on the countertop before bedtime.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Yeah, in the bedrooms.
Yeah,
that just seems to be genius, right? And something we also combat, this also would help combat, I mean, we talk about it all the time in youth ministry, is giving God your best and your first, seeking Him first, the very first thing, right? Waking up, spending time with God instead of rolling over, scrolling social media, seeing what you missed, checking out YouTube videos, you know, at 6 a.m, then wondering why you're always late to school. Right? So that helps combat that, I think. That's another one that I really, really liked.
I think in general, for the teenagers, I think you and the parents are up against a different type of battle in that technology is advancing so quickly that even some of the kids you have in that room right now did not grow up with the access to cell phones that the kindergartners have right now. You're experiencing kind of a time period where, yes, they are of the digital age, but the kids that I have in the kindergarten room right now, they absolutely know how to work their parents' iPhones, whereas the kids you have in your room right now, even at 14 and 15, didn't have that access. So I think it's an ongoing struggle to figure out the parameters that you do need to set. But I think some of those are great. And quite frankly, some of them should be observed by adults. I am the queen of scrolling my phone when I should be sleeping. You know, I've set my own guidelines for the morning and that I don't use my phone until my devotion time is done. But at night, like Colby said, I find it it can be kind of a decompressing time to just scroll through. But again, I know I shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, so I think, again, practically bringing it down to try and aim for that balanced approach, because like we said, technology isn't bad. It can be helpful, but finding that balance of, like Travis just said, I think he said it well, keeping it from providing an opportunity to do evil with it. And that's where on your smartphones or other things, even beyond time limits, you can institute parental blocks on certain types, like content blockers or
absolutely
things like that.
Absolutely. I've seen so many apps where parents are following in real time everything that their child is doing on the phone. Yeah.
Again, take that balanced approach. Remember, it's different for every family. It's different for every kid. Like Beth said earlier, be a role model. And again, just make it a family affair. I think that really helps. There's a resource. Again, we'll link to it. It's a website. It's called healthychildren.org. And one of the resources that they have is you can create a media plan for your family. So you can go through on their website and put in the names of your kids and their ages and tailor time limits to each of them, and then go through and say, as a family, we're not going to use technology in these places. And they give some options, and you can put in some custom things. But you can walk through, fill that out, but then you can print that out and post it around your house. So it's very clear. There's very clear expectations. I think, like we said, we work with kids and with teenagers. One of the worst things you can do is hold them to a standard that they didn't know about. If you just instill these time limits or these tech-free zones and you don't tell them about it, but then you punish them as if they disobeyed you, when they break that, they're going to be really confused and they're going to want to rebel because they didn't know because you didn't tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
So the last resource that I've got, if you're curious about the things that your kids are watching or the apps that they're using, there's a digital resource online. It's called Common Sense Media, something you've probably heard of.
Yeah.
But they do lots of movie reviews. I use it in my own house, and they break down the recommended age that they think is old enough to watch the movie. They break down like really specific things, but they do that for movie reviews. They do it for TV shows, but something we just found out, they also do it for apps on your phones, and they break it down by age bracket or types of apps. So if there's something that your kid is asking to get, Common Sense Media is a really, really good and wholesome place for you to go and find that review, look things over. They have reviews from other parents and kids so that you can kind of see what other people think and just check their breakdowns so that, again, you can be informed rather than trying to make a blind decision based on what your kid is telling you. Because I remember if I wanted something to happen, I would only say the information that I wanted you to know that I knew would get you to say yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what a great resource, too. But like all resources, not to be Captain Obvious here, but it's only going to be helpful if you use them.
Right.
But that takes me to the kind of the last thing that I wanted to mention is don't be afraid to be transparent with your children. Right. While you're working these things out and you're trying to set this up, maybe just say, look, man, you know, we set this guideline, this boundary, but that's not really working out. Right. And so here's why I thought I wanted to do it. And here's why it's not going to work. And so here's what we're going to move it to, or to even say, look, man, I set these boundaries and I'm trying to follow it, man. And I messed up last night. Right. And here's like, I'm disappointed with myself. You know, God gives us grace. He is the God of second chances and forgiveness. He gives us all these things, right? And to not implore those inside of your family, right? To say that there's no grace to be found within these when we do mess up. I mean, that's ludicrous, right? And so be transparent with your kids, right? You guys are going to mess this thing up as you go. It's going to get sloppy. It's going to get messy. Engage in that battle, right? When you mess it up, show grace. Show forgiveness. You can teach them yet another aspect of the love of God, right? But I encourage you, engage in that battle. Engage in the battle. The worst thing you can do is send them out with nothing, with no guardrails, no guidelines, nothing at all.
No, I think that you know, Travis really hit the nail on the head there with the transparency. I mean, I know as a teacher to these kids, I try to be transparent with them. Kids are so observant, yeah. But they do. You'd be amazed how much grace they give us when we're honest with them. Yeah. They are very forgiving.
Seriously, I think they respect it more, right? When you try to pull a fast one over on them, come on, man. They know.
Oh, yeah. They know. They respect you being honest.
Yeah, what was the best advice I ever got coming into ministry with youth was just be real. You just got to be real, man. Don't try to be something that you're not. And so that's the advice that I would give to parents while you're going through this is just be real with them, man. Be transparent. Mm-hmm. Even if, say, look, man, we didn't have these things, but I love you so much, right? I'm so concerned or whatever it may be that now we need to put these things into play. But you know what? I believe in it so much that I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah. Right.
That I'm going to get on board. I'm going to do these things that you're trying to do. I'm going to do it with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Any of the resources or links we mentioned will be listed in the show notes or on our church website, battlefieldbaptist.org, where you can also listen to this episode. Because our desire is for everyone to disciple the kids and teenagers in their lives, we want to make sure that as many people can access this content as possible. One major way you can help with that is by sharing this episode on social media or even with a specific person. If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas, or tips you've heard or used that you'd like to share with us, you can leave us a comment or review or even email us directly. Our emails are all on the church website, or they're just our first names, Colby, Beth, or Travis, at battlefieldbaptist.org.
And remember, parents, when it comes to the proper use of technology with your kids inside of your homes, the worst thing that you can do is to do nothing.
We'll see you next month.